Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bulls podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Please leave us a five-star review on iTunes. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. Make sure you check out the other fine podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Football, any of the individual NBA and NFL teams that you may be interested in. Got something for you on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, we're almost there.
Almost there. Media Day Monday, we're wrapping up our positional previews, per se, for the Bulls today with big men the past 2 days. We looked at point guards, very Rajon Rondo focused yesterday. Wings, we talked about backcourt scoring for the Bulls will need to come from Jimmy Butler
and Dwayne
Doug
Wade.
McDermott and Dwayne Wade, obviously. And today we get to the front court where long since departed is Pau Gasol via free agency, Joakim Noah via free agency, and on the fringe of the roster from last year's team, the Bulls traded Cam Bearstow.
And who was then waived and signed back in Australia. I don't know how the Bulls are
correct.
The NBA
I believe he's a member of the Brisbane somethings in Australia. I have no idea what their nickname is. But the Bulls have added Robin Lopez via trade.
He was part of the Derrick Rose trade.
In the offseason, the mega deal for the Bulls back in June just before the draft is the headlining name. He's in line to start at center at power forward.
You would think so.
At power forward, several contestants. Bobby Portis, obviously the second-year pro. And then they have veteran Taj Gibson and Nikola Mirotic as well. And that's where the only really starting lineup spot that is kind of up in the air. The rest are pretty much set in stone for the Bulls, barring something unexpected in training camp. We should also add in the big man mix, obviously, is Cristiano Felicio, the promising young center who
Olympian.
Brought a lot defensively, did play for Brazil in the Olympics, but power forward slot. I guess that's where the intrigue lies in training camp. Is there any other bigger storyline other than like Jimmy and D-Wade and Rondo and all those guys getting along? I guess it would be power forward. Who starts there?
That's pretty much the only question mark as far as their rotation, because Robin Lopez is, you would think, is unless Cristiano Felicio just blows people away in training camp, which I think
have to become like Bill Russell.
Right, exactly. And I think he's going to be very good, but I don't really see him as a starter at first. So, I mean, it's pretty safe to say Robin Lopez is locked in as the starting center. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before over the summer. In terms of just who the best player is that the Bulls could start at power forward, the answer is Taj Gibson. But just from a fit standpoint and a skill set standpoint, given the shooting struggles the Bulls are going to have everywhere else, I think Mirotic makes the most sense.
Yeah, and we talked about Mirotic, you know, didn't shoot well early last season, then obviously had the surgery and some complications, came back from that at the end, was strong, was a good three-point shooter down the stretch, I think something like close to 45% in the last few weeks of the season or so. So that does make sense. They need a big year out of him. And again, I know I've said this in the past couple podcasts. Again, we're pointing out the Bulls need like everyone to play well to get back to that playoff picture and respectability that they covet after last season, which, I mean, was a disaster, more or less, for the Bulls in many ways, given their expectations and their talent. So, yes, they need a lot from Nico. And you've mentioned this too before, Sean. Kind of a big year for him, too, because he'll be a restricted free agent at the end. And, you know, the money is ballooning in the NBA as far as the salary cap goes, but you still got to perform well to get that, and it's going to level off, so teams are going to show a little more restraint than maybe this offseason, obviously. So Nico has a lot to play for by way of money and proving himself in the NBA. You've talked about the fit. I mean, is he the guy that they want to spot up in the corner in an ideal world and be open and knock down those shots and be a pick-and-pop guy with Jimmy and Rondo and D-Wade? Is that a perfect world, ideal world for the Bulls?
I think so. And I mean, that's even before he came over a couple of years ago from Europe, that was always the scouting report on him, was that he was going to be a big man who can stretch the floor. There were a lot of Ryan Anderson comparisons thrown around. That, you know, and yeah, that's the kind of role that they want him to play. It's just a matter of if he can hit the shot consistently, because like you said, he was kind of struggling in terms of his three-point shot early on in the season. Then when he came back from his appendectomy after the All-Star break, he was just lights out the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the minutes. So if Nico starts at power forward, you look at it this way, you got 96 minutes between your two big men spots. Robin Lopez averaged about 27, 28 minutes last year for the Knicks. And given, I don't know his entire injury history, I know it's not real bad, but I mean, he's still a guy you don't want to
go out. He's been pretty
durable. Yeah, you don't want to go out there and play those guys like 35, 36, 37 minutes a night when they're not Tim Duncan, you know what I mean?
Kinda. And he's also such a traditional, you know, big man who just, you know, is a very, very old school type of player. And he's, you know, it's not going to be every matchup that he's going to be an advantage for you. And
exactly.
He's the Bulls' best. He's their best rim protector, and his teams, as we've talked about before, both when he was in New York last year and a couple of years before that when he was in Portland, his teams rebound a lot better when he's on the floor, but there's going to be, you know, some smaller lineups. Like, what's he going to be able to do against the Warriors, for example?
That's very true. Luckily, the Bulls only have to play the Warriors twice in the year.
Right,
but there are
certain matchups where they're going to be throwing some smaller guys at you, and you just don't know how effective somebody who's slow and big like Robin Lopez is going to be. So I think there's going to be some room for Fred to maybe adjust the lineup, maybe put Taj at center a little bit or Bobby at center, just based on some matchups. But, you know, I think we can probably, if he's healthy, and there's no reason to believe he won't be because he's been pretty healthy throughout his whole career, I think it's safe to pretty much pencil in Robin Lopez for 27, 28, 29 minutes
a game. Yeah, and then in that case, I would leave 68, 70 minutes for the rest of the guys. And, I mean, Nico's a guy that I would expect that minutes range to probably starting, but a guy, again, that's a little matchup-based. If you want to hedge toward defense because you're struggling, that's where Taj comes into play. So I see a lot of those big man minutes split up between Taj, Nico, and Robin Lopez just in the upper 20s minutes-wise. And then that's more of a reduced role for Bobby Portis and Chris Felicio, obviously. But those are two guys that will get a little bit more opportunity, too. I do think, as you said, it's very matchup-based. And let's be honest, at some point, someone in the middle for the Bulls is going to get hurt. Taj is usually
probably the most likely candidate. And just
ankle
for reference,
injuries all the time, you know.
Just for reference, Taj last year played 26.5 minutes per game, and that's with starting 55 games over the course of the season once Mirotić moved to the bench and then Joakim got hurt. And then his average through his career is 25 minutes a game. So he's going to be mid-20s somewhere.
Yeah, and again, the thing is, Taj is a consummate team guy in that he never complains, plays so hard, always has really backed the coaching staff dating back to Tom Thibodeau, and then when it was struggling toward the end, and then when Fred was struggling at the start, he's backed his coaches, so he's in their corner. I know things can be said privately that are different, but things that are said privately don't create a problem in the way that things can be said publicly, obviously. So Taj, you know, he's a guy that's been in and supported and was one of Fred's biggest supporters really last year, I think you could say.
And he was also
rookie season.
And he was also going back during exit interviews the year before when management, I mean, they had already made up their mind that they were going to fire Tom Thibodeau, but they did ask the players what they thought about it. And the two guys that really went to bat for him and really fought to try to keep him, from what I've heard, are Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson. So Taj was one of the biggest Tibbs defenders, and he was also one of the guys that was the most, you know, vouching for Hoiberg and saying people are being unfair to him and they need to give him more of a chance. So he's always going to have the coaches back.
Yeah, so the thing is, if you bring him off the bench, the team chemistry, the team morale, fitting the pieces together, that part of it is still fine because of Taj's personality and just everything he gives and has meant to this city and everything and this organization through the years. So again, very matchup-based, but Nico needs to be that guy, I think, that has confidence. There is no confidence factor more important on the Bulls this year than Nico Mirotić, in my mind, because guys like Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, have been through the rigors a little bit more in the NBA, have proven themselves.
Taj is pretty even-keeled.
Taj is even-keeled. Robin Lopez is a guy you're asking to play defense and rebound and not scoring a lot of points. Like, I mean, he's not going to get torn. He might get torn up over himself over missed defensive assignments, but that doesn't affect you quite as much as when you're a guy who needs to shoot maybe 12 shots a game, something like that, and your shot is tied to your confidence, and we've mentioned this before, and Nico has freely admitted that the mental state of the game is important for him, and he is very confidence-based, and he said he has to do better fighting through the tough times, and that maybe is more important than anything for Nico. So when it comes from a confidence standpoint, he's got to find it. So the Bulls need to do everything they can. This is on Hoiberg's responsibility now, to do everything he can to put Nico Mirotić in the best position he can on the floor offensively to have success. And at times, you know, I believe it was Nico's rookie year, Tibbs put him at small forward, and that worked out like really well for one or two games, and then it didn't work out well for Nico, you know what I mean? Looking forward, you got to get him those, I think, corner threes. He's been proven to be a much better corner three-point shooter, maybe get him in that comfort range. And, you know, encourage him to keep shooting. Maybe go a little bit lighter on Nico. He's not a guy you want to sit there and yell at and get his mind messed up, so... put him in situations, draw some plays up for Nico, you know what I mean? Like, to get him a look. One of the things Hoiberg likes to do out of bounds plays is get a three-point shot for someone. I mean, he did it a lot last year with Doug McDermott. Didn't always work a lot. I think there was some literature written on the Bulls' struggles on out-of-bounds plays early in the year, mid-season, kind of. But Nico is a guy that someone you want to keep that in mind for in a way that you don't ever drop a play for Taj Gibson, Robin Lopez, some of the guys you've had in the past. Maybe you want to do that for Nico. I think that would be a good way to kind of get him involved. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And, you know, like you said, he's been very open about the fact that, you know, if he misses a bunch of shots in one game, then, like, that lack of confidence is going to carry over to the next
spiral.
Game. I have a couple of thoughts. I think that, you know, optimistically, and we've seen this before, you know, guys will play in these international tournaments.
Sure.
And that will really boost their confidence. We saw Derrick Rose obviously make a huge leap into his MVP year after he played with the U.S. team in the FIBA tournament in 2010. Nico, I mean, he not only did he play for Spain in the Olympics this summer in Rio and won a bronze medal, he was really good. He was one of their most important players on that team. So I think, you know, hopefully that will boost his confidence a little bit that he's played at that high of level, you know, playing in the Olympics, which I believe that was his first Olympics, and then... You know, he can carry some of that over, and maybe if he misses a couple of shots his first few games in the season, he's not going to get down on himself too much.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, we always got to look at the flip side of this whole equation, too. So we've been talking some offense here, and we should mention before we transition too much, Bobby Portis is another guy who brings a few of the similar things to Nico to the floor in the mid-range jump shot. Bobby's range doesn't go quite as far as Nico's. He's not nearly as much of a natural pure shooter as Nico is, but he's another guy the Bulls could maybe pick and pop a little bit with. And I mean, we obviously follow Bobby Portis's career closely here and have seen all of it since the Bulls drafted him in the first round of 2015. I know it's 1 year, but when you look at that, he's a guy that's been around last year and a lot of eyes were on, you know, everyone said he fell in the draft, he was a steal of the draft, he had some really good games. He lacked consistency for a long time. What do you expect out of Bobby in year two, Sean?
I mean, I think the hope is that he gets a little bit better defensively. That's really how he's going to be able to stay on the floor, because, you know, we know what he can do on the offensive end. He can score around the basket, but he can also step out and hit that mid-range shot reasonably consistently. But it's just, I mean, the reason that he was kind of not able to really establish a consistent spot in the rotation last year was because he...
leaky defense.
Right, he would just not know where to be. He would get lost in rotations, and that's all stuff that you would expect from a 20-year-old rookie. You don't expect somebody, unless it's like Karl Anthony Towns, who is just so skilled already and skilled, and also just knows where to be already. Like that's such an exceptional case. You don't usually expect a rookie to come in right away and be able to contribute at that level on defense. It didn't take time for everybody, so you kind of expected those struggles for Bobby last year, and now it's just a matter of, can he get more consistent on that end in his second season? Can he make that leap? Can he kind of clean up some of those mental errors?
What I find interesting about Bobby Portis, I would love to see him add a secondary post move that's really good, that he has a lot of confidence in. We see that little right hook turning over his left shoulder, I think, last year quite a bit. That was kind of his go-to move if you gave him the ball on the block. But think about this. The Bulls have posted up Pau Gasol a fair amount in the last 2 years. Obviously, he was big in pick and rolls with Derrick Rose, but Pau would get the ball on the block as well. The Bulls don't have that traditional guy on the block now. They're not going to throw the ball into Robin Lopez on the block and be like, make a move. So that's more possessions to give to other people, more possessions to use in different ways. Now, I think any NBA team, in the name of, I guess, creativity and just having a diverse arsenal of options offensively, you would still like to have someone you can throw the ball to on the block and make a move, get out of a possession late, or just take advantage of a mismatch. I'd like to see Bobby Portis maybe be the guy who, if he can get a secondary move, get something going, spinning over his right shoulder to his weak side, maybe something with his left hand, get that in his arsenal, and then he can be an effective force on the block more often, because I think there's a little opportunity in that. And I think that would just be one of the ways to ease Bobby in a little bit here in his second year, give him a little bit more responsibility. But the onus is on him to get that move and work on it, which we'll see, I guess, early in training camp, and we'll ask about it and see what happened in the offseason. But back to the defense, I think that is maybe the biggest difference, obviously, down low for the Bulls in the front court this year, because Pau Gasol was really bad at defending the pick and roll. He was a good defender in that 5 or 6 feet around the hoop, affecting shots, blocking some, usually among the leaders. But he was bad once you put him in the pick and roll and teams just bludgeon the Bulls to death. What changes? Is this maybe the biggest defensive hope? I mean, the biggest difference for the Bulls, probably?
I would think so. I mean, you got a guy in there like Robin Lopez, who has been pretty consistent throughout his career as a rim protector, and he can defend the pick and roll a little bit, too. And yeah, I mean, and even Mirotić, like, he doesn't have a reputation as a defensive guy, but he's not elite by any means, but he's not terrible. He's not going to get
chase.
He's not going to just get blown by every single possession the way, you know, for example, Doug McDermott will.
Well, hey, if Kevin Love can D up and dog Steph Curry for like 18 straight seconds on the biggest possession, defensive possession for sure, of the Cavaliers season in the NBA Finals. I think it was tied in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter of Game 7. Like, everyone has hope, okay?
Are you referring to the time when the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the Finals?
Is that a thing? Has anyone referenced yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that on Twitter. I just thought I'd throw it out there in case people forgot about it.
Has there been any discussion about whether, like, a top 2 or 3 NBA player has joined the Warriors after they blew a 3-1 lead? Oh, there has been.
They re-signed Anderson Varejao.
Oh, of course. That's the big deal in the offseason here. But no, the Warriors...
They signed Zaza Pachulia, who almost got a starting spot on the All-Star team.
That's very true.
And David West.
With the help of an entire nation.
And David West.
They did get some...
They did some stuff
good
in free
deals
agency.
In the offseason, as well as getting Kevin Durant. But hey...
He was only the number 2 pick in the draft behind Greg Oden. He's not that good.
R.I.P. to Greg Oden's career, unfortunately, for the knee injuries. The Bulls need to stay away from those injuries. But hey, if... That defense, I mean, if those guys can stay healthy, that's where the hope lies, is in the pick and roll. Defense should be better, but at the same time, I mean, it works as a unit. We know that. We've talked about Dwayne Wade and Rondo needing to be engaged defensively for a full season and really bringing it on the defensive end. But, you know, Bobby's got to prove it defensively. We know Taj can play defense well, but at the same time, teams are smart. Like, their point isn't to put Taj Gibson in pick-and-roll defense, you know, like 25 times a game, because they know he can navigate those and move out there and chase guys a little bit. So defensively, the hope, if the Bulls are going to grow at all, that's where the burden's on Robin Lopez, I guess. And I guess Chris Felicio, too. We should talk about him off the bench, because what he was good at last year was, I mean, creating a little chaos defensively. He was not always in the right spot. He doesn't have world-class defensive instincts, but he moves well. He can bang that body around. He's
athletic.
Not afraid to rebound. He can block a few shots. Offensively, I was impressed late in the year where he actually flashed his left hand, finishing around the hoop a little bit. The Bulls, they love to tout the guys they find like that. You know what I mean? Put him on the old resume for what they developed and built, obviously. But he's a guy, how many minutes a game for him, maybe? 12?
12-15.
Yeah, you know, get some of those minutes. So maybe there's some nights that Taj Gibson and Lopez go a little lighter there.
Well, so here's something I want to ask you about, Cody.
Okay.
We've talked before about the possibility of Taj getting moved at the deadline if the season just goes off the rails. What if, and I mean, this would probably be a best-case scenario for the Bulls, what if they end up moving Taj because Bobby Portis and Chris Felicio's development is going so well that they kind of make him expendable, where they are comfortable just giving him all those minutes and still contending for a playoff spot. I think that's the best case scenario.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it in those terms before. I guess the hard part in that is it's a lot to prove in limited time for Bobby. And again, the Bulls, remember, this offseason plan of signing Dwayne Wade, this was not the plan on June 30th at 11:59 p.m., right before free agency opened. So they're kind of freewheeling, freestyling. Oh, let's go contend for the playoffs again and what, maybe get a sixth seed, best case scenario, earn our respect back, win a first round series, make the Bulls maybe more of a destination where other free agents want to come in summer 2017, stuff like that. You know, Jerry Reinsdorf, the chairman, wants to contend all
the
time.
Get that playoff revenue.
Get the playoff revenue is important. Obviously, he's in his elder years. He doesn't like throwing seasons away at this point. So it's one of those things where the Bulls are going to have some contradictory decisions to make as they have like half of a team they're developing and half of a team that's a little more on the backside of their careers or at least in their prime and needing to contend now. Like, how do you weigh that development and competing now when you're a team that's along that 6, 7, 8 seed line for a playoff chase, probably at best case scenario? And that's a decision. It'll be interesting to see what they expect out of Felicio this year in that regard, because if he can make a difference, I mean, those are just, you move Taj, that doesn't mean Felicio is going to play out there at power forward with Robin Lopez or anything, but those big man minutes, obviously, we talk about just get split up and melded together a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know what he'd have to do. I think he'd have to show more promise as an offensive threat and a consistent night-to-night guy. Have a full understanding of the defensive system. What exactly that will be, I don't know. I guess we should touch on that too. The Bulls, there's a little bit of riding, and if you were at Summer League, they were a little bit more aggressive at times in Summer League defensively. Obviously, that's not exactly a perfect correlation of the regular season, but again, the Bulls had a lot of guys that are going to be at the fringe of the rotation playing in Summer League, and they were a little bit more aggressive. Felicio allows you to do that in a way you didn't previously with Powell. That wasn't even a thought last year. So maybe the Bulls get a little more aggressive, and that's what he allows them to do. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I guess that's the hope. Portis looked really good in Summer League, too. But again, Summer League, these games are basically glorified scrimmages that you can't really learn a lot from.
Yeah. So we appreciate you, as always, listening to the positional previews. On Thursday evening, we'll be dropping a training camp preview of some sort.
We'll have to figure out a format, but we're just going to generally look at like some of the things to maybe keep an eye
on.
Key storylines going into training camp.
Yeah, you should send us questions, though, definitely, to lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Our Twitter account's @lockedonbulls. We can answer some of those in our next podcast. I know we've gotten away a little bit from answering questions here, but it's
send
also the off season. So hit us up there. You can follow me on Twitter @CodyWesterland. You can follow Sean @Hikend. As always, subscribe and find us on iTunes.
And leave us a 5-star review.
Absolutely. Find us on Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever
TuneIn.
Podcasts are found. Tune in.
And make sure you check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. The whole network is doing great things, especially with the NFL season having kicked off. Most of the teams have their individual Locked On podcasts. There's also Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On NFL Draft. Obviously, we've got the NBA stuff ramping up. The individual team podcasts have been really good. I want to give a shout out to Wes Goldberg and David Ramil, who do Locked On Heat. I did one with them last week, but they just did one today with after Chris Bosch's interview where he talked kind of about his health situation, so that's definitely worth checking out. It's obviously a former teammate of Dwayne Wade, so
close friend too.
Yeah,
they're very close friends.
Very
so
close.
we'll keep you updated on all that. And again, Bulls Media Day gets kicked off on Monday. Thanks for listening as always, and take care.
And that's something that she doesn't really want to do, as we've seen. So I'm thinking that might mean there's a greater chance of there being a settlement.
Yeah, there's certainly reasons on both sides to settle. So we'll keep an eye on that. And certainly all your Bulls news as well. Not much hard Bulls news lately. We'll get all that Monday when training camp opens. Wednesday evening, we will tape a big man preview. So all Mirotic, our hot takes on Mirotic, Robin Lopez,
Chris Felicio,
Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, Chris Felicio. We'll have those coming for you Thursday. A training camp umbrella preview of I don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll figure it out at some point. And then the season gets kicked off pretty soon. As always, please follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Bulls, at Cody Westerlund, at Hyken to stay up to date. Email us at LockdownBulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions, any advertising inquiries. Follow us, subscribe to us. Follow us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, find us on Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere else podcasts are found, as always. And follow the entire Locked On Podcast Network for whatever other favorite teams you have on the NFL side. NFL season's rolling. Great content from all those guys. And until next time, we'll keep you updated, and thanks for listening.